Монголын дуу хоолой радио ярьж байна.
The Voice of Mongolia in English is speaking. Сайн байна уу? Welcome to the Voice of Mongolia in English, which comes to you from Ulaanbaatar, the capital city of Mongolia. This half-hour transmission can be heard in Southeast Asia at 900 UTC on 12085 kHz and in Europe at 1430 UTC at 12015 kHz shortwave. You can also visit our website at www.vom.mn/en and listen to an online version of our daily broadcast. Hello, welcome to Voice of Mongolia in English. I'm your host, Otten Chimik, and here we are ready to start today's edition with the daily news as usual. And after the musical break, we will continue the program with the talk on Mongolian architecture and its past and present. So stay tuned.
Here is the news. Governments of Mongolia, USA, Vietnam to co-organize forum on combating CBRN terrorism. The governments of the United States, Mongolia and Vietnam co-hosted an ASEAN Regional Forum or ARF workshop on strengthening legal frameworks to combat chemical, biological, radiological and nuclear or CBRN terrorism in Ulaanbaatar. With participants from 16 countries and experts from Pacific Northwest National Laboratory, the U.S. Departments of State, Energy and Justice, Indonesia, Mongolia, Vietnam, and the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, or UNODC, the workshop focused on strengthening the legal frameworks and capacities of ARF participants to prevent, detect, and respond to CBRN terrorism threats. The workshop explored how ARF participants and international organizations can enhance cooperation and coordination, including through strengthening information sharing mechanisms to address CBRN terrorism and related non-state actor non-proliferation issues, as well as how to facilitate the implementation and operational of new legal frameworks. With the ARF as ASEAN's largest security dialogue aid, 27 participants, including all 10 ASEAN member states, the United States, values its role in partnership in this forum, as well as a strong collaboration with Mongolia and Vietnam to collectively enhance and identify tangible ways of reinforcing legal frameworks to combat CBRN terrorism. Mongolian educators head to South Korea for cultural and educational exchange. The Teacher Exchange Program 2024 of the Asian Pacific countries is starting. The Ministry of Education and Science of Mongolia, in collaboration with the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, implements the Teacher Exchange Program with South Korea for Asian Pacific countries. On April 16, under this program, 10 Mongolian secondary school teachers headed to South Korea to work in the country's schools for 3 months. Through the teacher exchange program, teachers gain valuable experiences by exchanging knowledge and fostering cultural understanding between the two countries. Young entrepreneurs to be empowered. Simonia Atanasovsky, Regional Director for Central Asia and Mongolia at the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development's Small and Medium Enterprise Finance and Development Department, has worked in Mongolia. During her visit, Ms. Simonia Atanasovsky met with the management of the Mongolian National Chamber of Commerce and Industry to discuss the importance of enrolling young businessmen and startup entrepreneurs in training programs. The training, in addition to financial aid, would provide them with the opportunity to compete in national and overseas markets. There are many sectors in which EBRD and Mongolian National Commerce and Industry can collaborate. We're happy to that the views and initiatives of the Chamber align with our work line. We need to support the young generation in starting their businesses in broader ways, she said. The Mongolian National Chamber for Commerce and Industry Management introduced their work completed under the Business Revival National Program. They also informed Ms. Atanasovsky that the initiative to enroll 10,000 young people in business training aimed at preparing the next generation of business leaders has begun implementing. In addition, the management discussed the opportunities to make public-private cooperation more productive upon completion of the legal reform of the chamber. Producer Baishtsik appointed as Cultural Envoy of Mongolia. On April 16, Minister of Foreign Affairs of Mongolia, Baishtsik Batmokh, met with actress and producer Baishtsik Altangirl, who was recently appointed Envoy of Culture of Mongolia, and presented her with the Certificate of Envoy of Culture. Foreign Minister Baishtsik wished her success in her efforts to present Mongolian heritage, culture, history, and values to the world through theater art and the staging of the play Mongol Khan abroad. Producer Baishtsik also played the role of Bulurma in the Netflix production Marco Polo and worked with the Hollywood film directors, contributing to promoting Mongolia. Also, she successfully implemented the project to stage the Mongol Khan play at the Coliseum Theatre in London, UK.
That's all for today's daily news. Now let's have a musical break.
Thank you. зайсан нутаг атмарны тоян дингчин тогтсон орн мөнгө зарны гэрэл бүнгчин гэлцэн газар
Please welcome back. You have listened to the musical break. And now let's continue the program with a talk about Mongolian architecture, its past and present, as we mentioned before, and hope you enjoy it. Despite the Mongols' traditionally nomadic, pastoralist lifestyle, they have nourished a surprisingly rich tradition of fine arts and architecture. Particularly in Mongolia proper, the one-time monastery town and present-day national capital Ulaanbaatar has been a center of art and architecture from the 18th century continuously to the present. Other monastic centers in Mongolia proper have also been centers of art. In Inner Mongolia, now an autonomous region in China, artistic and architectural traditions flourished in the 18th and 19th centuries, but didn't make the transition to the modern era as successfully. The same can be said of the Buryat and Kalmyks, Mongol peoples living in Russia, where Buddhist temples were built in a peculiar mixture of Tibetan and European neoclassical styles. In all Mongol lands, Buddhist-influenced monuments and artworks were subject to violent communist-inspired iconoclasm under Stalin in the 1930s and 1940s and under Mao Zedong in the 1960s, from which only the most famous examples have survived. Mongolia's history of fine arts and architecture can be divided into two basic periods. The first, spanning from roughly the late 16th up to the early 20th century, was the period of the dominance of Buddhism and of Tibet and China as the main outside influences. For most of the 20th century, Russian influences became dominant, while communism and other secular European schools of thought prevailed. The second period may be said to be continuing, although with a more international cast and a pluralist ideology. As nomads, the Mongolian tradition of domestic architecture was limited to the yurt, or Mongolian ger. Contrary to popular impressions of the unchanging yurt, yurts in fact underwent fairly significant change, with today's collapsible latticework yurt first appearing in the 6th century and replacing non-collapsible forms on carts only in the 15th century. During the times of imperial expansion, the Mongols successively adopted a number of monumental architectural styles. At the time of the second conversion, the Tumut Mongols of southwestern Inner Mongolia were already employing Chinese architects and builders in creating palaces and pavilions. As a result, it's not surprising that Chinese architectural forms initially dominated Mongolian religious architecture. Later, however, Tibetan forms challenged the dominance of Chinese architecture. Hybrid forms, particularly with Tibetan walls surmounted by a Chinese roof, were also common. Among the Kalmyks and Buryat Mongols of the Russian Empire, Buddhist temples were almost all influenced to varying degrees by European architectural forms, ranging from the neoclassical colonnade to the onion dome of Russian Orthodox churches, while still maintaining Chinese or Tibetan motifs. From 1911 to 1921, Mongolia was a theocracy in which the clergy established, under the incarnate Lama Emperor, the eight Jeotsundam Hotokt, expanded rapidly in wealth and prestige. Expanded patronage funded some of the great monuments of Mongolian architecture, while modern artistic trends and the paradoxically worldly atmosphere led to new experimentation. The most outstanding monument of the theocratic period was the great temple of Mygdi Chenrezig, which housed a 14-meter-high gilt copper image of the deity. The temple, which still occupies a prominent place on the Ulaanbaatar skyline, consists of a three-story Tibetan-style hall surmounted by a further two-story Chinese hall. In contrast to many of these hybrid Tibeto-Chinese-style buildings, the proportions are strikingly harmonious. Built between 1911 and 1913 and funded by alms collected from the populace, the temple was erected to cure the Hotokt's blindness. Other architectural monuments of the turn of the 20th century include the palaces of the Jeotsundam Hotokt along the Tol River just south of the capital Hure and the Chögyam Lama Temple. The latter was built between 1899 and 1901 to house the younger brother of the Jeotsundam Hotokt as the official state oracle. The only extant palace today is the Sharopiljeln, popularly known as the Green or Winter Palace, built from 1893 to 1906. A striking feature of this palace complex is a two-story Russian-style building added in 1905. Between 1912 and 1919, a magnificent ceremonial gate in the Chinese style was built in front of the temple. The 280,000 taels of silver for its construction were again collected as alms from all over the country. The massive multiple roofs, supported by 108 brackets, appear to float over the slender supporting poles. All of these buildings were constructed by Chinese contractors using both Mongolian and Chinese craftsmen. The Buddhist images inside were the work solely of Mongolian monastic craftsmen. Another albeit minor, elements in Mongolian architecture were the introduction of Russian vernacular architecture. From 1860 onwards, occasional Siberian log cabins with their distinctive decorative shutters and trimmings on the windows dotted the city. An elaborate two-story version of Russian vernacular architecture was introduced in the famous Red House built by the Russian mining executive Viktor Vongrat near the Jeotsundam's Brown Palace. Mongolian architecture didn't emerge from the period of revolutionary destruction until the 1940s. As in the Buddhist period, monumental architecture in Mongolia continued to be more strongly influenced than the fine arts, not just by foreign models, but by the presence of foreign architects and construction workers. Until the mid-1960s, foreign labor played a major role in Mongolia's building industry. Despite the 1921 revolution, little visible change occurred at first in the cityscape of Hure, renamed Ulaanbaatar in 1924. The first distinctive new building was the Green Dome Theater, built in 1927, designed by a Hungarian architect, Joseph Jelit, with a round green roof in a form inspired by the yurt. There are a few buildings built before 1945, such as the State Printing Press of 1929, followed a purely European style. The architects were generally Soviet, but their designs in Mongolia in this period were surprisingly ornate, perhaps influenced by the Siberian vernacular architectural style. After 1945, Soviet architects designed the buildings around the central square of Ulaanbaatar in a full-blown neoclassical style with columns, entablatures, and pilasters. Meanwhile, Japanese prisoners of war built the first large apartment blocks in Mongolia, four stories high and again with a number of neoclassical touches. This style was continued in the 1950s in apartment blocks built by Chinese guest workers under the direction of a city plan drawn up by Soviet and Mongolian architects. The pioneering Mongolian architect in the post-war era was Mr. Chimit, who closely imitated Soviet styles, modeling his tombs of General Sukhbatar and Marshal Cherbasov, for example, on the tomb of Lenin in Moscow. In designing the Ulaanbaatar Hotel in 1961, Mr. Chimit moved in a more modernist direction while also adding touches of Mongolian national characteristics. Despite the imitative character of the architecture, the center of the new Ulaanbaatar kept a certain charm and architectural unity marked by, for example, the widespread green roofs. This charm has, however, been marred by the generally poor upkeep of the buildings and the subsequent addition after 1990 of several multi-story steel and glass constructions. From the 1960s to the 1980s, Mongolia witnessed the construction boom both on the outskirts of Ulaanbaatar and in the surrounding cities. Construction had to be rapid to keep up with the rapid pace of population growth, urbanization, and industrialization, and most of the buildings fit the stereotype of Soviet concrete public housing projects with shoddy construction and an alienating gigantism. Few, if any, presented any distinctive Mongolian characteristics, nor did they mix harmoniously with the previous neoclassical style in the Ulaanbaatar center. Rapidly developing capital Ulaanbaatar's life becomes more effective and more enjoyable. Alright, we have introduced about the architecture history of Mongolia. We hope you enjoyed today's program. Have a nice day ahead and goodbye, dear listeners.
Gonna leave me here forever, and I'm gonna be waiting for you forever. You wanna see me here forever, and I'm gonna be waiting for you forever. You think so? That's not so. Love won't be waiting, waiting, waiting ever, 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 ever. No, 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 no. You gonna run away forever. gonna be chasing for you forever. You think that's the way it is, so hear what I say to you. You think so, that's not so.
That's the end of the program, which comes to you from Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. The Voice of Mongolia provides half-hour transmission to Southeast Asia at 900 UTC on 12085 kHz and in Europe at 1430 UTC on 12015 kHz shortwave. You can also download the phone application MNB Radio and listen to all the programs of Voice of Mongolia. Your emails and letters are most welcome with your feedbacks and detailed reception report. Please either email them to vom_en@yahoo.com or send them to the English section, The Voice of Mongolia, CPO Box 365, Ulaanbaatar 13, Mongolia. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.